even if my language was perfect, even if I was able to somehow speak all of the truth to him in a way that he could understand, I have no way to make him feel better. How do I imagine that he could possibly give thanks in this circumstance?
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Hello, you're listening to Speaking of Going. My name is Ben, or Ban, depending on where you live in the country. I am formerly a reluctant missionary. Now, the opposite of reluctant. I'm not sure what that could be.
What is the opposite of reluctant? Good question for today. So, I'm Randy, or Randall, depending on where you live in the world. And I'm a former atheist, currently serving as a missionary leader.
Do you have an update on the build of your deck?
Yes. I took a three-day weekend. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but coronavirus has been in the world here this year. And
incapacitating all deck builders.
One of the outcomes of coronavirus is that pressure-treated lumber is rare. So I took a three-day weekend in order to get started on my deck building. And by the end of the day Friday, I had wood. That was my success on Friday. And then Saturday, when it was raining, I managed to cut the notches in two of the legs and get them standing up. And so I mentioned it was raining, and it's a 45-degree slope in my backyard. And the clay is extremely slippery.
Interesting. It seems kind of dangerous.
Well, it,
is this why they denied the deck to be built for seven times, or does it not have anything to do with it?
I don't think it had anything to do with it. Surely they wouldn't care about my safety.
Safety gets
but so that it's a 16 foot wide, and so I had a 16-foot 2x10 that weighs, I don't know, 150 pounds or so. Now I kind of, on this slippery slope, I was carrying it down to put it up on the two legs. And as I lifted it up the first time and dropped it, I got a little bump. There's a tender spot on my head there. So you really, the first thing is you should be careful. So then the second time I dropped it, it went sliding down the hill down to the pond. And so I had to go... I had to go down and pull up this 150-pound board back up the hill. So when I was huffing and puffing, it was not that fun. So then I put an eyelet on it and tied it off to a rope. And the third time I dropped the board, I was standing behind a beam. So I really learned how to drop the board well, because on the third drop, there was no injury and the board didn't go away. By the seventh time I dropped the board, I remember sitting there on the side of the hill thinking to myself, man, am I just being foolish or rebellious here?
Did you just skip to seven accidentally, or did you actually drop it many times?
I actually dropped it seven times. And it was the seventh time when I was feeling some level of despair and anger. And I just, it was at that point that I remember actually stopping to talk to God and saying, okay, am I being foolish here? Is this something that I'm sure I'm being foolish, but am I being rebellious? Like, are you trying to send me in the house here? Am I supposed to come out here another day? And I just had freedom in my spirit to continue. So
it seems reasonable that you would ask that.
So anyway, I got it back up there, and I got it strapped on. And right now, if you look out in my backyard, you would actually see that there's two of the eight legs of my deck with one beam on it in place, ready to go. I mean, we're almost done. At this point, the job is almost done, and it's natural for me to just give thanks to God for that success.
Yeah, that's so inspiring. That's amazing.
So, speaking of Thanksgiving, Ben, what scriptures have been on your mind this week?
We've got this Philippians
in chapter 4. And it says in verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
So the standard here for thanksgiving, what kind of circumstances does it say?
It says everything, all things except when building a deck.
it gives an out for that.
Yeah.
So I'm just struck by the fact that the reasonableness is supposed to be known by who?
Everyone.
So your reasonableness is supposed to be known by everybody, and your thanksgiving is supposed to happen in all circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of a circumstance in your life where somebody might have thought that you were unreasonable to give thanksgiving, where those two things would conflict?
So there's this interesting time in my life. I'm only 33, but at one point, around the age of 30, I decided to blow most of my savings into a startup company, as they say. There's lots of startups in America, and I think a lot of them do okay. I would say majority, maybe they don't. So there is that the natural struggle for a business to actually get a foothold and, you know, sell a product. For me, I decided to start a guitar company that requires wood and things like that in the middle of a desert. So that was a bit insane. And so when I blew most of my money and spent half of it on, you know, this small business in the middle of nowhere, I had a friend, he's a former cop. He was like, you're crazy and this isn't going to work. And the entire time said, this is really not going to work. This is foolish. This doesn't make any sense. And about every day, something would happen that would cause him to say, this is a sign that this is not going to work, especially the part where I was like, I don't have wood yet. I need to go find some wood. And he was like, there's no wood here. And so every day he walked with me and he went with me places. You know, we landed anywhere from, a bolt and nut shop to a toilet shop. And our discussions always ended up being around, my desire to do this was not really, it wasn't really to have the most rich and wealthy business. I mean, I would have loved that. But I think you saw something internally that I was just thankful to be there and grateful and that God had called me here. And so I think in my response to all the things that went wrong every day from not being able to find something for, you know, someone installing electricity wrong in the shop to something like, you name it, you know, shipments of machines and stuff that failed to arrive, the wood being incorrect, all sorts of things he witnessed on a pretty regular basis.
So in this circumstance, it seems impossible that an outsider wouldn't be able to simultaneously see you as reasonable or rational and thankful, but nonetheless, he actually could.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I could see where it might be expected, first of all, that you couldn't be thankful in that circumstance, having blown all your money.
Yeah.
And second of all, it might be reasonable for him to expect that you couldn't be thankful.
Yeah. I mean, I would say 70% of the time, something was going wrong, and it required a pause and a reflection on how the expectations were somehow failed in some way. And then the rest of it just kind of required, okay, I think we can find another way and I just need help. You know, it wasn't much more than that. And so I definitely think good things came from it for sure. It wasn't a complete failure. That's not what I'm hinting at.
So in those circumstances, the little passage here says, in all circumstances, let your request be made known to God.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of requests were you letting be made known to God in that time?
The main thing I asked, that I remember asking, was, okay, God, I felt like you wanted me to do this, and it seemed like you were asking me to do this, and it seemed like a good idea to start a guitar making company in the middle of nowhere without access to any trees or anything. So if you want this to continue, could you let us find a tree or something like that? So that was the main thing, was actually, hey God, we don't have any wood to build this guitar. Will you help us find wood? Because everyone's saying that you can't find wood. So, I mean, there were times where I was a bit frustrated. It was like my connections weren't working out. I was searching all over. The wood I did find wasn't functional.
So now, was your atheist friend aware that mm-hmm. you were making requests to God?
Yeah, he was. I would actually pray with him going places. And we would pray. We would always eat somewhere. And I would pray before the meal, pretty standard. And yeah, he would join, you know, he would mimic me. Really, it was kind of odd. He's a really smart guy, but his knowledge of anything about what I believed was just, you know, very, very small. He had only seen and met one Christian in his high school class that stood up and made a fool out of himself, as he would say, and said that he's a Christian, and everybody just laughed at him. He said he had never met a Christian until we went into the toilet shop and found a group of people having a Bible study.
Awesome.
Anyway.
Huh.
Yeah.
So this guy, did he feel like the fact that God didn't answer your request for wood on the spot, did he feel like that somehow invalidated the existence of God?
I would imagine he battled that back and forth. You know, it went further. To him, it was like, is it possible for someone to experience something bad, like a negative, what we would consider an unpleasant circumstance, and be following God and God, you know, smiling upon them kind of thing. So for him, I mean, that all the way up from, you know, the business stuff, the things going wrong, to me getting the melanoma cancer on my arm, that shocked him the most, that that a good person could have something like this happen to him. And I remember him sitting on my couch and saying, I just don't get it. You know, you pray all the time. How is it that this can happen to you? And I was like, well, it did. I don't know. I don't have much of an answer. I mean, it just does, you know, it happens. And yeah.
So as an atheist, it seems like he expected that the promise should be that we're able to somehow control God. Like if this thing was true and we asked for something, if mm-hmm. it was true and legit, then the promise of God would be that the thing we asked for would actually go down. But in your case, what were you expecting?
Yeah, me, I was expecting, I mean, I was battling, as I wasn't battling so much that, you know, my goodness should, you know, elicit some sort of promise of pleasantness. I was really battling with, am I in a place where I can pray in faith to have this healed? And then I went to a place, especially with you when we were traveling around, with the whole cancer thing, is this a place where I can look and see that God has something more for my story than this? But yeah, for him, it was pretty black and white. It was pretty, he had a pretty big expectation that the promise should be for good behavior for someone like me, morally good. The promise should be pleasant and good things occurring.
And if you were gonna look at this passage in Philippians, what kind of promise do you think we should expect?
Yeah, probably only the peace. I mean, it says the peace of God. It surpasses all understanding, which is interesting. The whole understanding thing. I was just thinking that there seems to be a lack of understanding when anxiousness arrives, at least in my life, when something stressful comes up. It's not just a lack of control and not just a you know, something crazy bad has happened and I'm anxious and stressed. It's I don't understand. Anyway, it says, which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. So that's the promise, is he's going to stand guard over our hearts.
From your story, it sounds like this guy somehow was struggling with the fact that he expected pleasant things as a result of prayer and faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And what he actually observed was your heart and your mind being protected in Christ Jesus.
That's right. Yeah, what he observed over the years was a guy who poured everything into a place business-wise and then physically, and this is what he was left with. All along the way, though, he was involved in every step, always happy to wake up, always felt like it gave him way more purpose than he was in between jobs at the time. And so he loved every minute of it, to be honest.
So this atheist friend was investing in your business. How much did you pay him?
I paid him a normal wage. I can't remember what it was, but he got by for sure.
Okay.
He made good on it.
All right. So he was an employee.
Oh yeah, for sure. He was an employee. And even when I had to leave, because I had to leave for like a whole 2 months, right in the middle when everything was getting set up. And so we just got on our little social media app. And while I was in America, he every single day got up and did everything that I asked him to do. It pretty much got the whole thing set up. I mean, we started with a concrete slab and ended with a full-on shop. So, yeah, he was kind of like me. He turned into me over there.
So you and he had this employee-employer relationship where, but in that relationship, it was more like a friendship. It wasn't like I'm the boss and you're not the boss. It was more like we're working together to make this thing happen.
Yeah, it started as a friend. Well, it started that he was an enemy, then became a friend, and then became my employee and friendship. Yeah, for sure.
So I've had the experience I mentioned a few, I don't know, it was last week or a few weeks ago, about where some Christians have gotten upset with me at times because I haven't been able to say for sure that God is going to give me the pleasant thing I want. Like I will ask without knowing that God is going to give me the pleasant thing I want.
Yeah.
And I think as I look at this, I feel some level of peace because it doesn't seem like the promise is, at least in this case, that doesn't seem like the promise is everything I ask for, I'm going to get. As I ponder, give thanks in all circumstances, and by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. From a dad's perspective, if your son brings you a catalog and he shows you a picture of a toy that he really wants.
Is this 1960 a catalog?
Oh, there it is. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking when I was a child. So maybe we should say, he brings you his iPad, his personal iPad that's connected to the internet so he can see whatever he wants, whenever he wants.
It's fully locked down. My iPad. Yeah.
And he shows you a picture of a toy that he really, really wants. And he's come to realize that by saying thank you ahead of time, by saying thank you, he gets what he wants. And then he shows it to you and says, Dad, thank you for that toy right there that you're about to buy me.
It seems like I would hope that I would recognize that I'm being manipulated in this situation.
But you'd have no choice but to buy it for him, right?
I mean, I would definitely have a choice. I mean, to not buy the toy. Although, I would probably feel pretty guilty if I didn't. Oh, it would definitely be on my mind, like, oh man, well, he's been thanking me. been showing it to me. He's been pretty eager. I don't know.
For me, the situation I have is like, it feels presumptuous to me for Jack to come to you. Mm-hmm. And thank you for something, not knowing whether or not it's what you intend to buy him.
Yeah, for sure.
It feels kind of yucky to me.
It, Yeah, it's the very definition of yucky.
And that's how I feel with God. So for me personally, if I don't really know what he's going to do, how he's going to handle a circumstance, if I say something like, thank you for curing grandma's cancer. If I actually don't know what his plan is, whether or not he's going to cure the cancer, and then I thank him for it ahead of time, it feels really like if I was him, I wouldn't like it.
That's super interesting. It does feel like we should only thank God for things we fully understand and know how he's going to respond. That's very interesting.
So the I can think of one circumstance where I was in a Central Asian person's home. Mm-hmm. It was the equivalent of their Christmas. And my friend got the report that his son had been murdered. Hmm. He was walking through the bazaar with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend saw them together and came up and jabbed a knife into his heart. And he just died right there. So 18-year-old boy, and now he's dead. Hmm. And I just remember, like, my language wasn't perfect, and this guy was a farmer, and it was hard. And so here he's crying, and I remember listening and catching some of the details with him. Of course, I didn't say, could you stop and say that differently so I can understand? You just kind of sit there and you're like, God, I have no idea how to be salt and light in this circumstance. That boy was certainly not Christian.
Yeah.
That boy was certainly not even understanding what it meant to be Christian. The comfort that I could provide for my friend, I mean, if he knew the truth about what I believe, that boy is eternally lost. There is no way of going back. Hmm. And so, so I feel, I'm just sitting there with my friend that I love, and I'm weeping, and I'm thinking of his son, and I'm thinking, I have nothing to offer in terms of resolution to his pain. Even if my language was perfect, even if I was able to somehow speak all of the truth to him in a way that he could understand, I have no way to make him feel better. How do I imagine that he could possibly give thanks in this circumstance? I mean, it's how can I possibly give thanks in this circumstance? I was gutted. And I didn't feel good.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I had the answer for what kind of hope he should have. The promise here is that I need to give thanks, the command here is I need to be able to give thanks in this circumstance. And I think that God, in that circumstance, did give me thanks, and my request to God that I made known was, just show me what my role is here. I have no idea. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to act. I don't have any hope. And the thing that God gave me was, or I think it was God anyway, the thing that came to me was Psalm 23. And I went home and came back the next day with Psalm 23, and I practiced it a bunch and I gave it to him. But it's like, even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, somehow, some way, God is there with you. And and if you're willing to receive it, God can journey through this with you. But you know, I had some level of peace that passes understanding. And my friend, I don't know if he ever believed or not. I did. He does have a copy of the Bible. He wound up sharing it with all of his neighbors. and Psalm 23. But as far, I don't know the how to get the peace of God that passes all understanding, that will then guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. It doesn't seem reasonable that my friend would have me sitting there in front of him, believing in my heart that his son, that he loves, has been murdered and is going to be separated from God for all eternity. It doesn't seem reasonable that I could be sitting there with this friend, believing these things are true.
Yeah.
And somehow be thankful.
Yeah, is it possible to be angry and thankful?
It's a good question. Are emotions and thankfulness necessarily connected?
Yeah, I don't think necessarily.
Let's think back to Jack. Can you think of a way that Jack could be angry with you about a circumstance and thankful to you about the same circumstance at the same time?
He can definitely be angry about a situation, you know, where he doesn't get something that he wanted. And while visibly it doesn't appear that he's thankful, I mean, he's certainly thankful that I'm still his dad, that he still, you know, gets to do other things. I don't know.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I think it's possible. I mean, for me, I don't know. For me, I'm trying to think of a situation. Like, the cancer one's actually a pretty good... it's an interesting situation in that it's like just mildly life-threatening enough to me that it kind of pushed me into a big stir. I wasn't thankful in the beginning. I'm thankful now for sure, having gone through it. And I'm also a pleasant thing happened in that they were able to remove it. But I remember telling my wife, probably a week or so after, it's like, I do not feel thankful. You know, I don't feel good about this. I know it's possible. Like, it makes sense that it's possible because I think that bitterness did not enter my heart for sure. So very thankful that that didn't happen. That would have been an easy road to pursue.
That's interesting. I guess, I'm pondering, I'm not sure about my own opinion on this. I think thankfulness can be a choice.
Yeah.
And emotion, I personally don't experience that I have control or choice about how I feel.
Yeah. So that's a great way of saying it.
When I'm sitting there with my friend, it's like, okay, God, in trust, in hope, I don't like this circumstance. It really hurts. It seems bad. But in hope, I'm just choosing to believe that somehow you are good and this circumstance is going to work out for good. And I love you. I don't like it, but I'm thankful for the thing because I trust you. And so maybe that would be the case if you're spanking Jack. Jack does some sin that he shouldn't do and he needs to get a spanking and you're there spanking him and maybe his emotion is anger. But maybe his heart is saying, his heart or his attitude is saying, okay, I'm just going to trust that somehow Dad knows best and that this is right and good.
He always hugs me afterward.
Yeah. I think that's my big takeaway from this therapy session. I think thankfulness is something we can choose regardless of our emotion.
Yeah.
And the promise is if we choose thankfulness independent of emotion and we let our requests be made known to God, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is going to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.
I think it's true.
Father, I just think back to my friend Mehmet John and his son who perished, and his little house and his little farm and his family and the scriptures that are there in that village, being, at least they were being passed around. Father, I pray that you would show him somehow what he needs to have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that you would just bring him to the light, you would give him hope, and that you would bless him and his family. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that he has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where he is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.